What's going on, Packers fans? Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a phenomenal weekend. I know I did. Went to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen. Let me tell you, that is a treat. If you get the chance in this day and age, in a world where we are inundated with AI and CGI slop, my goodness, you talk about a phenomenal, action-packed, cannot-catch-your-breath movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen. You cannot beat it, people. The Packers set to open their doors once again tomorrow, Tuesday, for the second public viewing, i.e. The media is allowed in, during OTAs. So we'll have some more updates, news, availabilities, quotes to parse over and talk about. But other than that, not a ton of news from the Packers. I know they did just release one of their like 100 wide receivers with a injury settlement, which I suspect he'll go through waivers and be back on the Packers IR. But other than that, not a whole ton of news to talk about. But I did want to mention and touch on Devontae Wyatt, because I was watching a few of the games from last season over the weekend, as I am wont to do. And it's interesting because obviously a lot of conversation, and I mean a lot of conversation, coming out of the previous season has been around the pass rush and the lack thereof, especially when the Packers rushed four. Now, Wyatt was probably, I mean, not even probably, was your most productive down lineman when asked to rush the passer. However, as you guys are aware, he missed a decent amount of time, roughly a little over three games with injury. A couple of times he started games and then had to leave because of injury. But when he was on the field and asked to get after the quarterback, yes, he was productive. And he was clearly, far and away, their best guy at doing so. Beating one-on-ones, getting through gaps, creating havoc, all the stuff we've heard Jeff Hafley and company want from their down linemen in this scheme. Now, I've already seen, and I had someone in the comments here, and I got kind of a couple of responses like this on Twitter. I'm not saying this is wrong or bad or whatever. I'm just saying I understand this reaction. Bandit saying, he was the best lineman we had until his injury last year. So I get that. I get that response. But I'm here to tell you, Devontae Wyatt still needs to earn the right to rush the passer. And what does that mean? He needs to improve when it comes to defending the run, especially given the fact that the Packers have lost TJ Slayton. And yes, they have made a couple of additions in the draft and or undrafted free agency. But this is a player, a former first-round pick, whose fifth-year option was just picked up, who still, more often than not, does not play the majority of the defensive snaps, even when healthy, and is not nominally, or has not been, a starter. They have had other guys out there on early downs because they cannot trust Devontae Wyatt to play the run as well as some other people. Now, that doesn't mean he's a bad player. It doesn't mean that, oh, he shouldn't be out there on early downs. Obviously, yes, that is the best of both worlds. But he's got to earn that right, and he's got to improve in that situation. And if you go through the season last year, there are certainly performances where you can point and say that's what it should look like. The Tennessee game, I think anyone with a fair eye will say that's probably his best game of the year, right? Obviously, you would like him to be a bit more consistent in that regard, playing both the run and the pass well. So the coaching staff, and most importantly, the new defensive line coach, DeMarcus Covington, can trust him out there on first downs, first and second downs, when it is an obvious run situation or where a team might more often than not statistically favor the run. That's not to say he can't play it. It's not to say he's terrible, but he needs to improve there and be a lot more consistent, to be out on the field a lot more, to get more opportunities to get after the quarterback. He's got to eat his vegetables, as they like to say. You know, you got to earn the right to rush the passer is an old football coach axiom. It doesn't mean he's a bad player, but if he can improve, and look, all these guys have things they're working on. All these guys have technique that they're going to drill all offseason and work on, that they're going to drill down on, both in the classroom and on the practice field. It's not to say that he's bad or can't improve. I think he will improve, but that is the key. If he can get better against the run, and I'm telling you, there is some bad tape against the run in his 2024 portfolio, so to speak. If he can just improve his technique and get better in that area of the game, he could truly be a three-down player and probably the guy that they envisioned him being when they selected him in the first round 4 years ago. I'm very excited about Devontae Wyatt. I am all in on his progression, on his still unrealized potential and the ceiling that he can get to. But, you know, you sit here and you look at the numbers and you say, oh, well, he was the most productive. Yes. And he could be a hell of a lot better and a hell of a lot more productive if he can get on the field more. And the best and easiest way for him to do that is to be way more consistent against the run. That is the type of thing you want to see when you're talking about progression from year to year throughout a career. Man, the world is still all out in front of Devontae Wyatt. And I know there are frustrations because he was injured quite a bit last year and because he hasn't played as much as probably people were hoping for a first round selection. Well, this is his ticket. This is his key, his pathway, so to speak, onto the field with regularity, is if he can get more consistent. And I don't need him to be dominant. I don't need him to be, you know, some hulking presence in the run game. He just needs to be a lot more consistent so he can be out there on early downs and become that three down player that the Packers want him to be, undoubtedly. That is all. That is the only kind of thing I'll probably be most kind of interested in seeing when we get to the summer and the pads come on and things start getting a little bit more live. I mean, they're never truly live in camp, but that is an area where hopefully you'll see continued improvement, and that will lead to him being on the field a lot more in early down situations in 2025. That's the dream. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up in the comments section. Stu, football, yes. Yes, sir, 100%. Let's give a shout-out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King, based in Wisconsin since 1992. Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. And before I get to your questions and comments, I do want to give a shout out to Will, who sent us a message on the Cheesehead TV Facebook page. Hey, Aaron, thank you so much for all you do for the Packers community. You're welcome, Will. Just had a baby today, Liam Stanley. Shout out Liam Stanley. Could I get a shout out on the podcast? It'll make my wife's day. Didn't leave your wife's name, unfortunately, Will. So shout out to her. Shout out to Liam Stanley. Shout out to you, the newest Packers fan born today. Really appreciate you listening, and thanks for reaching out. And congratulations to everyone. Hope everyone's doing well, healthy, and happy, and having a great old time welcoming the newest member of Packers Nation into the world. Good to see everybody. What's going on, everybody? We got JP starting us with a super chat. What's going on, man? Don't let the Brewers win streak distract us from the fact that Buddy still needs to sell the team for the summer of fun comments. It's fun to watch certain folks taking a victory lap because the Brewers are hot, right? They won seven in a row. It is June 1st, people. Let's calm down. I'm very excited. I am very happy. I like the Brewers winning baseball games. No doubt about it. I'm all in. But it's June 1st, well, 2nd now. So let's just, okay, can they keep this up? Can they stay hot? Is this where they're headed this year? That would be brilliant, and I will be very happy. But let's not pretend like they've suddenly just arrived and this is who they are. Like, it's a long season. I'm very excited. But, yeah, Buddy still needs to sell the team, no doubt. You are not wrong. Next, where are we at with the Jaws saga? Let me explain. No, there's too much. Let me sum up. Man, it feels like I've talked about this ad nauseum. I wish I could tell you where we are with the Jaws saga, but, you know, they've offered him a restructured deal. I would highly recommend you check out my conversation with Matt Schneidman. It's here on the YouTube channel. that is the latest. And there's been nothing since then. So that was probably the where place you want to be and check out. Oh, we got some spam in the chat, people. Got to get rid of that spam in the chat. Aaron, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Or, I'm sorry, on Twitch. How are you, man? Hey, Aaron, from another Aaron. Do you think Savion Williams will be used this season, or will he have more of a red shirt? That is a reasonable question, Aaron. I don't think he'll be a red shirt per se, but I do think, you know, he will be used intermittently, sparingly to start. I think they see a potential legit wide receiver, right? I know there's been a lot of talk about using him in somewhat of a slash role, some kind of like orbit motion gadget guy. And I do think there's a place for that. I think he will be kind of, that will be his initial kind of usage, so to speak. But I don't think they're going to force feed him. And I don't think they're going to like spam those type of plays just to get him on the field, right? I don't doubt that he will be used somewhat sparingly early as they try to bring him along and teach him and have him grow as a legitimate wide receiver. I also think it's going to be fascinating to see what the calibration is between Savion Williams and Jaden Reed and Mecole Hardman during the summer. Because if, you know, Savion really takes to it and is productive and is, you know, seems to hit the ground running, it could potentially make Mecole Hardman somewhat expendable if they're not utilizing him as a punt returner, which they didn't last week on the one OTA practice the media got to see. There's a long way to go, obviously, but I do think they will bring him along slowly. They will probably have a package or two to try and utilize his obvious gifts, right? His physicality, his run after catch ability. But I don't think there's going to be concerted effort to make sure that he's getting like 20, 30 snaps a game or anything. I think that will come in due time as he learns the game, as he learns his role, things like that. Ryan, thanks for the super chat. Is this Walter's last year in Green Bay? Walter? Is that Walter? Walter Stanley? I'm drawing a blank. I'm going to need some help. Randy Lewis, thanks for the super chat. Packers defense did get better last year. I love to see the Packers players develop, but I got no gripes currently. Give it a quarter or two, Brandy, a quarter. Give it a drive or a missed tackle. You'll be right back hating the defense. Don't you worry. But they did. They did improve last year, no doubt. And like, not just from the Joe Barry era, but they improved as the season went along, dealing with a lot of different kind of injuries, right? So, yeah, it's a promising beginning to the Halfley era, but there is a lot of ball game left, no doubt about it. Jimmy, random Packer, Herb Waters. That's a good one. Walter White. That's a very good question, Mick. Did Jacob Monk put on muscle and anchor during the offseason? What did he look like last week? Didn't really get a description as far as his bulk or his body. I know we got some reporting on what Edrin Cooper looked like, how he had clearly put on muscle and kind of mass, right? But Monk was running with the ones. That's kind of the most interesting thing, right? He was in the mix, so to speak. That's something we can ask tomorrow when the guys are out there watching practice. There was nothing notable that I saw in any of the photos or videos or any of the observations from the media. But here's the thing. I think, and I've said this a lot, I think he played really well down the stretch last summer. And I'm excited to see what a year off, summer off in the weight room maybe has done as far as what he looks like and how his ability to anchor and maybe take on some of the kind of more problematic defensive tackles in the league, what that'll look like in year two. Because this is when you want to see that significant jump, right, from year one to year two, no doubt about it. Jibek, this is an interesting question. Does Kenny Clark moving make him, I think you mean Devontae Wyatt, get back to being dominant instead of just good? Or no, you're just talking about Kenny. Sorry about that. Does Kenny Clark moving? Well, okay, here's the interesting part. We didn't really get to see Kenny and team stuff last week as far as what they did. He didn't participate in the 11-on-11 stuff. We'll see. I think it should help as far as his being able to be a little bit more productive and get after, you know, the quarterback, obviously, but just creating havoc in the backfield. It's something where his entire career, he has been much more, I don't want to say productive, but he's been much more active as a nose as opposed to a three tech or going out on the edge even. Nothing's a given, but yes, I do think if they do slide him in as more of a full-time nose, it should help him. And I think I did a whole kind of intro chat about this a couple weeks ago, saying getting Kenny back on the, you know, the stat sheet, so to speak. I think you'll see that if they do utilize him at nose a lot more than they did last year. What else we got here, folks? Tulio, thanks, buddy. Do you think the front office will bring in another defensive tackle for 2025? I doubt it. Never say never. You know, as Brian says, there's, you know, there are 365 day a year operation. You're always looking. Maybe if someone were to, from the outside, you know, the public's aspect or perspective, if an unexpected move happens and someone is released, maybe due to, you know, some kind of salary thing or what have you, maybe they take a look. But I suspect, as they always say, we like our guys and we're going to see what we've got. You know, I think we'll see them, you know, utilize the players that are already on hand and see if they can develop the guys that they've, you know, invested quite a bit in and expect a lot more from than what we saw last year. No, Daryl, that's not what I'm saying. See, I don't understand how this gets twisted. So Wyatt has to play a little better in order to keep his spot? 3 question marks? No, not what I'm saying at all. I think he's got to be a lot more consistent against the run to see the field more. He's got his spot. He just got his 5th-year option picked up. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be part of the rotation, but he could be better and do a lot more damage by being on the field more. And the way he gets on the field more is he plays better against the run. It's not difficult. He's kept his spot. He's not going anywhere. Thank you, Tulio. Appreciate it, man. This is an interesting question, J-Rock. I know the CBA limits the contact teams can have with players. If a player like X wants to meet with Halfley in the offseason, can they get together if the player initiates the meeting? The strict answer is no. The CBA forbids it. However, is it policed? Are there, like, you know, complete lockdown surveillance going on these guys 365? No. Are there ways around that? Yes. Now, I don't know anything, obviously. That's the whole point. But to the letter of the law, they're not supposed to. But that doesn't mean they don't. Let's say that. Brandy, this is such a good question. Nags, what is your least favorite call on offense on a 3rd and 4? To me, it is any horizontal play. Now, I hear what you're saying, and it is interesting because I think Pro Football Focus just had a article drop either today or yesterday about the increased usage of the screen game across the league, right? Where it's almost above 10%. And that's just on any down, not just 3rd and short or under 5. But yeah, the horizontal nature, whether you're calling a traditional halfback screen or more likely in today's league, you know, some kind of tunnel screen or wide receiver screen. Yeah, they drive me insane, but I understand the thinking. I understand the idea of spreading it out, getting your guys in space, and hopefully if things are executed properly as far as the blocking goes, you're going to give your guy enough, you know, leeway or an avenue to get that first down, right? I am with you. I would much prefer, say, a slant, you know, or a deep dig or something other than a throw behind the line of scrimmage, something, i.e. horizontal. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I understand the thinking, and it can be productive and effective, just like any play. You know, it is about execution more than anything else, but yeah. Daryl, what does earn the right to rush the passer mean? Seems like a rule. It's an old saying. It's an old football coach saying. You got to earn the right to rush the passer. The other way of saying it is you got to eat your vegetables. earn your right to rush the passer means you play well against the run, which means you're on the field more, which means you can get after the quarterback when it's time to do so. That's all. That's all that is. Ryan, thanks, buddy. I meant walkers last year, ? Now that makes more sense. I didn't quite understand who Walter was. Walker, Rashid Walker. TBD, man. I think it's clear that they would very much like to keep that position kind of open for competition, right? And that is something we'll see play out this summer. There's a very good chance he wins that job, but even if he does and plays the full season, so to speak, there's a decent chance still, I suspect, that, yeah, they probably let him explore the market, where I think he'll make a killing. But there's a long way to go. Sometimes injury sorts that out for you. Maybe Jordan Morgan comes in and has a killer camp and takes the job, and Walker is your first guy off the bench at tackle. There's a couple different ways it could go, right? But, you know, to sit here on June 2nd and say, yes, it's definitely his last year, impossible to say. I do think it's trending that direction because you can't pay everybody, but a lot to play out yet. Let's put it that way. Joe, what's going on, man? Packer most likely to be traded before the season. Well, we were just talking about Rashid Walker, but I'll say Kingsley and Igbari. How's that? Nick, what's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitch. Appreciate you, man. Oh, Carrie, this is a good question. Even though they did just release one who was injured, they still have, what, 12 wide receivers? Nags, why do we keep picking up receivers kind of full? Your thoughts? Our cup is running over, I think. I think there's a lot of connections you can make here. Yes, they are top heavy, let's say. Let's heavy at wide receiver, the depth chart in particular. But man, when you have guys who you drafted a couple years ago who led not just your team, but the league in drops, especially on third and fourth down, you've got a major injury to one of your other guys in Christian Watson, and you've got another guy heading into the final year of his deal along with Christian Watson in Romeo Doubs. Get a lot of unknowns, and I think you're somewhat kind of maybe as a personnel group flooding the zone, so to speak, with a lot more kind of competition, and I do think that is the key word here. I do think it is about competition. You heard Brian talk about that at the combine, at the owners' meetings, especially at the combine. He mentioned it point blank. You know, one of the things he expected to do this offseason is add competition to that room. Now, what I don't think he would ever say publicly, but I do think he would probably say it in the room with his personnel folks, is there were a lot of expectations on this wide receiver group coming off of 2023 that probably, it's fair to say, were not met in 2024. Now, whether you want to label that as complacency, a lack of development, guys just not reaching their potential for any number of reasons, well, this certainly will get you a room full of guys fighting to land jobs and to keep jobs and to get re-signed and to get new contracts. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that's happenstance. I think this is a direct reaction to what Brian probably saw as a group that did not reach its potential last year and maybe, just maybe, felt a little, I don't say complacent, because I do know how hard these guys work. But they certainly felt like maybe they had somewhat arrived after 2023. And that certainly didn't materialize throughout 2024. So I don't think it's overt, but I do think it's there, rumbling underneath, saying the best way to get the best out of these guys is to provide as much competition as possible on every level, from the top of the depth chart all the way to the bottom, trying to just make the roster. That whole room now is going to be having to work its ass off to make sure that it's, you know, I'm sticking around. I'm going to earn that deal. I'm going to make the roster. I'm going to make like the practice squad. It can only benefit everybody involved. I think that's a pretty clear line that you can draw. Corey Krenz, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Is Zach Time going to get his contract extension before training camp? Random Packer, Matt Brock. Talked about this a couple weeks ago. I do suspect they'll get it done prior right to the beginning of camp, right before the beginning of camp. But tricky with the Elton situation. We'll see. There are a couple balls in the air there. I suspect they will, though. Nick, thanks for carrying the G with us here on YouTube. You're on Twitch. You're on YouTube. Appreciate you, man. Just bought my All You Need Is Love shirt. Well, thank you. Appreciate the support, man. Really appreciate it. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. And I know I say this after every chat, and I kind of glide through it, and you guys hear it, and it probably goes in one ear and out the other. But those subscriptions, every person who hits subscribe means the world to us here on YouTube. And if you do subscribe, please turn on the notifications so you know when we're live, you know when we got new content. It really means the world to us. It really helps drive the brand and everything we're doing with Cheesehead TV. I really appreciate it. We all really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Please tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.